Now, I'm going to introduce you in just a moment to three of my young friends. Like I said, they're going to help us get into this sermon on friendship. Quite frankly, I thought if we're going to preach on friends, we would be well served to listen to some of our young people talk a little bit about friendship. Don't you agree? So we're gonna ask them just two or three questions in a minute, let them share it with us. But I meant to mention to you a moment ago a couple of things I think they're important. One is we continue our series here on Sunday night. If you are not in a small group or your small group meets at lunch, you'd like to come back this evening, or you may be involved in the Financial Peace University meeting next door. And certainly, if you're not plugged into that yet, you could talk to Brian Armstrong. I don't know if you can still jump into that at this point or not. But tonight here, we're going to look at Tank Your Reputation. Tank Your Reputation. And we're going to enjoy some time with Philippians chapter 2 and an early Christian hymn is actually what it probably was that talks about what Christ did for us. So hope you'll plug in somewhere today and just feel involved in this church life. Okay, let me introduce the guy to my right, and I'm going to let you hang on to this. Speak into it just a minute to make sure it's on.
Testing.
There we go. Okay. Well, why don't I let you introduce yourself and identify who your parents are this morning, too, okay?
My name is Brock Barbie, and my parents sit over there.
Is that your dad running out the back door? What are your parents' names?
Kevin Barbie and Rhonda Barbie.
Kevin and Rhonda. Okay, pass the mic on there, Brock.
I'm Tatum Thompson.
Okay, who are your parents?
Barrett and Lori Thompson.
Okay, where are they sitting?
Over there.
All right.
My name is Kyler Jones.
Okay, where are your folks at, Kyler?
My mom is Sharon Jones, and my dad's Roman Jones.
Okay, and your mom, Sharon Jones, is sitting right over here. Okay. All right, well, I want to ask you guys a question on friendship. What is a friend?
A friend is someone who likes you.
Okay, someone who likes you. Good. Tatum?
Someone who cares about you.
Okay. Brock?
Somebody that trusts you.
Okay, good. Has something, can you think of a funny story that ever happened to you and a friend? Maybe something that your parents don't know about or finding out for the first time. Won't get you in trouble. Anybody think of a funny story that happened? Yep. All right. Kyler?
A couple of weeks ago, I went to my friend's house, and he has this little dog, and so it was cold, so we tried to put this sweater on him, but we couldn't catch him.
Okay. Now, is this the friend who was with you at church?
Sometimes.
Last week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Let me ask you another question. How do you know that somebody is a really good friend?
If they steal, that means they're not a good friend.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? How do you know somebody's a really good friend? How can you tell?
When they tell the truth and when they don't steal.
Okay, you say when they tell the truth. Yeah, good, because you want friends to be honest with you. Have you ever had a friend to lie to you?
Yes.
Anybody ever had a friend to lie to you? Yeah, you haven't? That's good. Well, I can remember one time a friend lied to me, and that was very, very disappointing. Couldn't believe they'd lie to me. Let me ask you one other question. Sometimes we decide that we need to find a new friend. When is it time to look for a new friend?
When they do something bad and they, like, watch bad movies.
Okay. Yeah, when they're doing something bad. All right. Tatum, what do you think?
When they're doing something wrong and they try to get you to do something wrong.
Okay. All right. Kyler?
When you go to a new school, you have to make new friends.
Okay, good. Well, you guys have really helped us out this morning. And, you know, when you have to look for a new friend, that's not always easy because, you know, sometimes letting go of a friend is hard. And then sometimes it's hard to find a new friend because you have to find a friend that you can get close to again and do things with, someone who has a lot of your interests. And it's hard to find that. So it's hard to let go of friends, but sometimes we have to let go of friends. You know, I remember when I went from junior high into high school, that some of the friends that I hung out with in junior high started getting into a lot of trouble. And there were two or three of them I decided I wasn't going to hang around with in high school. And it was a good decision, because those friends ended up getting in some real trouble. And if I'd hung out with them in high school like I did in junior high, I would have gotten in that same kind of trouble too. My parents would have been very disappointed with me, but God would have been very disappointed with me too. So sometimes we have to make those decisions. Can you give my friends a big hand this morning? Thank you, guys. Y'all can go ahead and go and sit down with your folks this morning. They have terrific parents, don't they? They are three quality young people. Now, Hope Armstrong was also going to be up here this morning, and she is not feeling well this morning, and so I'm sorry Hope can't be here so that you could hear from her as well. Do you remember that commercial that in particular played over the holidays with fastball pitcher Randy Johnson in that snowball fight? Do you remember that? Yeah, and he throws a snowball, and it makes it past his friend, thankfully. Goes across the street, hits a garage door, and leaves a great big dent in that garage door. And then the line after that is something along the line of, well, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Well, some things can be felt at a distance when they carry a lot of power. And friendships are like that. There's this passage out of the New Testament that's a stunning passage, and it sort of turns over the apple cart of our thoughts, so to speak. Listen to this. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. When I was training for ministry, we had a guy in school who recovered Bibles and would personalize your Bible cover. And I had him to etch that scripture all across the front of that particular Bible. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, Jesus is a wonderful architect of that kind of friendship. Wouldn't you agree? But there is a passage of Scripture that precedes the incarnation, Jesus coming into this world. There's another passage preceding the incarnation that accentuates the value of friendship as well, out of the Old Testament, out of the wisdom literature. We were there last week. We're there this week again, because the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes, have lots of wonderful jewels about life and how life can be or should be experienced to have fullness in life. Look at this passage. In all times is the love of a friend and a brother to distress is born. Who do you want around on your darkest days? Who is it that you want to be there when you've got to go through the darkness of life? Now, maybe you say it's hard to come up with that particular individual. I can't think of someone per se. I'm not really that close to anyone these days. You may recall high school being very close to a particular friend, but they went to a different college than you did, and so the distance between you just naturally grew greater. Or maybe you think of that couple that you used to double date with early in your marriage, perhaps at a time before either of you began having children. And you talked about life, and you talked about your relationship, and you had a lot of funny experiences together. You went to the movies and to dinner together, and you talked about having children and dreaming a little bit about the future. And then in time, you moved away, and you maintained that relationship from a distance for about a year and a half. They came and visited you. You went and visited them, and then in time, then the distance began to grow. And now you haven't talked with them in years. Perhaps you think about a parent. You think about a particular parent who has always been there in your life, and during some of the darkest days, you could always count on them. I talked to a preacher friend just this last week who was encountering some real challenges in his ministry, And he said, you know what I did? He said, I called my dad for advice. And I remembered a time in my ministry many years ago when I called my dad, who's not a preacher, he's not an elder, he's not a deacon. He was just a good man, just a Christian. And I said, Dad, I'm about to have a real difficult situation I've got to face here. I've got to be challenged with. Can you give me any advice? You know the jewel of wisdom Dad deposited with me that I have remembered to this day, and I guess always will, probably should. He said, always stick by what you believe, because at the end of the day, you have to live with you. That was good advice. I want you to know that I went into that meeting and I maintained my integrity, spurned on by my father's wisdom. But you discover as parents get older that when you share the darkness with them, it seems a little weightier than it once did. And so you hesitate. You hesitate to place that weight on them. Or maybe you think of a sibling, but for so many of us, siblings live at a distance too, and we talk occasionally on the phone, but sharing this darkness at a distance becomes a challenge and difficult. Who is that person you want on your darkest days? That person who is a combination of Chuck Norris, Arnold Schwarzenegger, MacGyver. Anybody remember MacGyver? Oprah Winfrey. She can do everything, right? Martha Stewart, Dr. Phil, Abraham, Moses, Deborah, Lydia, and the Apostle Paul. Talk about a historic multi-personality, huh? Who is that person you want around in the darkest days? Friendships offer something that we need, and they also provide us an opportunity to give. Now, let me invite you to stand up for just a moment. Go ahead and stand up, if you would. I want to lead a prayer, but this is what we're going to do. Now, maybe you want to stand, you want to stay right there next to a family member, but also maybe you spot someone in here that you haven't, that's a friend of yours, and you just want to stand next to them as I lead this prayer and encourage them. It could be someone who's gone through some real darkness in their life or is currently going through some darkness. And I want to give you an opportunity to step out of the pew for just a moment. Go over and stand by that friend. Maybe you as a couple, see another couple that you want to be next to as I lead this particular prayer. And I'll say the words, but be next to that friend and encourage them. Feel free to grab their hand if you would like to. Now, if you want to move, feel free to do that at this point. Now, I'll give you just a second, and then I'm going to start into that prayer. And if you want to stay where you're at, then you feel free to do that as well. Dear Father, as we are moving and we are praying, we are thinking about friendship, how you have blessed us with friendship, how you have opened the door to understanding of life through friends, how you have provided us encouragement in our friendships. Dear Father, we are thinking of friends here that we know of who are going through some very difficult times, who have lost people that they love, they care about. And Father, perhaps even now, someone in this auditorium in particular is standing next to that person that they've moved next to because they know that friend's gone through a loss. Loss of a father, loss of a mother, loss of a sibling, or loss of a spouse. And they understand what the last few months has been, how difficult and how challenging. Father, we are here to stand up for and with friends. We are grateful for friendship. You are the architect of friendship. You have opened the door not only to understanding of life, but Father, you have opened the door of understanding ourselves better through friends. Father, we thank you for those friends. And Father, we ask that you give us the strength and the wisdom to be there for those friends through the difficulties in life, through the challenges, to carry one another in prayer, to carry one another in heart, to embrace, Father, each other as brothers and sisters, and to make and remake commitments to each other, to be dependable, to walk through the darkness, and to be there, Father, not only in the darkness, but to be there on the good days too, the days of celebration and of joy, as well as in renewal. Thank you, dear Father, for hearing this prayer, and in Jesus' name, amen. Feel free to be seated, if you would. Friendships help us to experience life and life's meaning. Now, one of the things that's important in friendships is we look for people who share our values. They value the same things that we value. Now, do they share all of our values? Probably not. You know what we call people who only form friendships with others who agree with them 100% of the time? Lonely people. Because no one's going to agree with you 100% of the time. Look at your marriage. Do you agree with each other 100% of the time? Have you convinced him yet that you're right? He can be a little thick-headed, can he? A little dull. But when we form friendships, we do look for people who embrace most, at least, of our core values about life, about Christ, about God, about family. You know, part of forming healthy friendships as we grow older is learning the lesson of looking for people who share our values. Now, you can be friends to people who don't share a lot of your values. But in a very real way, our friendships help to form who we are. And so if we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, maybe we're hanging around with the wrong people. Point of fact. You are 20 or 21 and you are single and you're hanging out with your guy friends and you're hanging out with your girlfriends and you can go where you want to eat, you can make your decisions, you can say what you want to say, but when you get married, things better change. Some. How you appropriate your time, the value of that person in your life, girlfriends or guy friends are no longer the same level of status they once were, right? And if that doesn't change, your relationship is headed for trouble. There are marriages which have caved because people never really started acting married. They just legally live together. You can socially live together without a marriage license. But we also form friendships with people who value us. And that was one of the answers actually earlier, wasn't it? They value us. Now, friendships are not always reciprocal. We can be better friends to other people than they actually are to us, and there are people who may be better friends to us than we actually are to them. But for someone to really show genuine friendship for us, one indispensable quality is that they value who we are, and they express that value, and they treat us with value. Look at this particular passage once again from Proverbs. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Recently, there was a wave off the coast of California, about a 30-foot wave. Remember hearing about that on the news? And there were surfers who were really in the midst enjoying that, but it was rather sudden. And there was a story of one particular surfer who was taken under the water and kept down for a period of time. And there was a guy on a jet ski. He was actually a fireman from Australia who was, I guess, vacationing there, riding a jet ski in what he later learned was a prohibited area to ride jet skis. And he saw the man, and he went to the man. He rescued the man, and the man then was, I think, care flighted to the hospital. So I don't know how the story ended. But do you think the family of the man are grateful that someone on a jet ski, prohibited area or not, was nearby? Absolutely they were. Spiritual friends should swim spiritual waters together. We didn't do a lot of swimming when I was a kid. But you didn't have to do a lot of swimming to hear this phrase a lot. Never swim. Be dangerous. Spiritual friends should swim spiritual waters together. Now, one of the things that's important in friendships, what friendships do for us. There are several things they bring to our life. One is this: they help us in processing life together through the eyes of God. So they help us to see life as God sees life, to see the world as God sees the world, to see others as God sees others, to value things and establish values the way God establishes values. Now it happens, you talk with a friend, you interact with a Christian friend, and you get into some kind of spiritual conversation, and if they are very focused on God and a relationship with God, at some point in the conversation, they're going to bring up things like, what does it mean to be a Christian and have to encounter this? How would God want you to answer this? Now here's the second thought. Friends help us in encountering personal challenges through spiritual feet, meaning this: they walk through the challenges with us. So often we can be very easy, or we can easily dispense advice. But sometimes what I need is not for you to give me advice, but for you to walk the road with me. Right? Don't just tell me how to do it or where to go. Walk the journey with me at least for a while. I may even know the advice you're dispensing to me, but what I need is not the advice. I need the friendship to walk the road and the journey. Now, where that should be a given is in marriage. Two friends walking together the journey, the road. That should be a given. Where that also should be a given is when it comes to siblings. You know, I hope my kids, my three kids, stay close and grow closer with each other, because in all likelihood, unless the Lord returns, in all likelihood, they're going to be here with each other after Carol and I are gone. I'd like for them to be friends. Now, every parent understands what I just said, particularly who has grown kids. That's not always the case. Siblings don't always walk life together. They're not always there for each other. Sometimes they do grow distant from one another, and they reach a point in life, the last person they could count on would be a brother or a sister they grew up with. That should also be true with parents. I'm still at that point of life where I, as a parent, are walking in a unique way the journey with my kids, but there's going to be a time in life when I need them to walk along with me. Maybe hold my cane. Maybe lean on them, maybe carry my walker, may take me in the furs and sit me at the table and go get my food and bring it back. I don't know. But the intimacy of that journey, third thought. Measuring life through spiritual hands. Friends need the hands of a friend. Let me carry that. Let me help you. Let me hold that for a minute. Let's think about this. I understand we're looking metaphorically, but you understand the point. Spiritual friends, we need friends who are willing to take their hands and help us to measure value in life. Spiritual friends need to swim the spiritual waters together. And spiritual friendships need to both change and endure. Why? Because life changes. Life changes, right? When you go home, how many of you think when I go home today, I'm going to keep this jacket on all day? I'm going to take it off right now because it's hot. But you understand the point. Life changes. Life changes. There are dramatic things which bring changes to life. Getting married, having children, having grandchildren, the marriages that you go through, friends, attending the funeral of friends. Life changes. Spiritual friendships need to both change and endure because life changes. Now, here are some qualities that are important for those friendships to remain valuable in our life when life changes. One is they understand this. Friendships changing is not an omen of failure, it's just change. Okay, so your friendship's different. There are people I'm not as close to. Tim and Temple, Tim and Betty, Carol and I, we have been close, good friends for years. I remember one particular Valentine's Day that Tim and Betty and Gary and Dina and Carol and I from Temple got in, I think it was our minivan, and we drove to San Antonio for supper that night. I don't know what we did with the kids. It really didn't matter at that point. Drove to San Antonio, had supper together. That is the only time we've... Now, we said, after we did that, you know what we said, right? We got to do this every year. Guess how many years we did that? One. About every third Sunday, we packed into, with our crew of kids, we packed into Fuddruckers in the mall in Temple and ate lunch after church. You know how long it's been since we, or how many times over the years we've done that? Maybe 3 or 4 times. But we love all 4 of those individuals. Now, the one thing we have maintained is we've made all each other's, we've made the high school graduations of every kid in all 3 families, and most of the college graduations so far. And we maintain that. We don't talk a lot during the year. I may talk to Tim once every 9 months. But about 3 years ago, Tim said, I'm going through a spiritual crisis, kind of a church crisis. Got to make a decision. Not sure just what to do. So I wanted to call you, see what you thought. So we talked. Why? Because I was a dependable friend. He knew I'd be honest with him. We didn't talk very often, but we were still friends. Friendships changing is not an omen of failure. It's just the fact that friendships change. They just do. Now here's the second thought. Friendships can endure when intimacy lessens. You're not always going to be as close to some of the friends in your life as you are right now. Right? Many of us know that. Look in your Bible. John chapter 15, 13 through 15. Let me point out something here and make some application of this. Friendships can endure. Friendships can endure even when life changes. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Intimacy may lessen, but let me tell you what remains, a willingness to sacrifice. I'm not as intimate with some friends that we had 20, 25 years ago, but I'm still willing to sacrifice for those friends. Because they're friends. So the one thing, even though intimacy may lessen, there should be a sense of sacrifice which remains. Now, Jesus was the architect of it. But Jesus, though he was the architect, we're supposed to learn it. Now, look at verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, what Jesus is saying, listen, you're friends of mine if you obey me, if you live a right life. We can't say that we're friends with Jesus and set our own standards for our life. The standard for life is Jesus. He sets it. So Jesus said, if you obey me, then you're my friends. Now, here's the application to relationships. Part of friendship is dealing with each other rightly. Treat each other well. Talk well about each other. Honor each other. Respect each other. And verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Awareness. Now, Jesus wanted to make us aware as friends about his Father. It's about a kingdom. He wants us to be people who were aware. That's part of the friendship. That's what a friendship does. He makes others aware. Well, that's true in our relationship too. Make each other aware. If you're here this morning and you're hurting and you're struggling, a moment ago when I gave you a chance to go stand next to someone, I'll bet you anything that there are people here this morning that want to step out of the pew and go across the room to stand next to a particular individual, but just hesitated. And you and I hesitate so long that the opportunity's gone. I promise you, there are people that you know who need you to say some word of encouragement to them today. Or need you to pray with them today. Or for them today. Kathy Bowles is sitting here this morning. Kathy called me Friday morning, right? Friday morning, and you saw in the email the notes that she had gone through the testing, and the doctor came in and said, Kathy Bowles, this is in Tulsa. She's been battling this battle with cancer, and doctor came in to Kathy and said, Kathy, you're clear. You're all clear. Well, when you're battling cancer and the doctor walks in the room and says, hey, you're good, you're all clear, how do you react? Praise the Lord. You celebrate. And that's what Kathy did. Now, I got a chance to share a little of that celebration because she got on the phone and called me. And I was at a church conference. She called me, ducked out. She shared with me the news. And so do you know what I did? I said, Kathy, can I be part of the celebration? And I'm walking out in front of this particular church building, and I'm praying, and Kathy's in Tulsa on the phone, and we're praying. And guess who's listening? Hello?
Amen.
God's listening. I promise you there's a friend that needs to hear that you care today. And there may be some things they need to share with you, but if you don't open the door, they're not going to share. Awareness. Friendships can also endure whenever intimacy is absent. That's true. Friendship can endure when intimacy is absent. Sometimes distance, time, even physical death can come between us and another person. But friendships, spiritual friendships, can still be influential in our life. There are relatives that I've had. There are friends that I've had who are no longer physically living, but their memory and their values and their devotion to me as a friend, knowing they called me a friend, continues to be influential in my life. Now, in the case of someone that you love who has died, you'd say there is a distance there, certainly a physical distance. Time may have passed, been years since you've seen that person. Physical death has separated. All those things have wanted to form barriers, but they are still influential in our life. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Let me share you this with you this morning, and then we will close. People look for a church home. Quite often they do so because of friendship. Either a friend invites them to come, or they come looking for a friend. Now, ultimately, what they may need is that intimate friendship with Jesus, right? But that friendship is probably going to be formed through that friendship with someone here. So what is it that West Hill has to offer? The gift we have to offer at West Hill is the gift of spiritual friendship. Now, here are the qualities of spiritual friendship we offer. A friendship which reveals our roots, who we are. Who we are Christians. We are children of God. That is who we are. Jesus is the architect of friendship. We try to reflect friendship in our life. Friendship also orients our faith. We trust in God. We believe in God. We believe that a church, by nature, is to be a group of friends who reach out to other people, both within that church and in the world, to form friendships. Friendship orients our faith. It also raises the quality of body life. How would you like to be a part of a church where people didn't like each other? Or they couldn't stand to be together? Wouldn't be much fun, would it? Friendship raises the quality of body life. One of the wonderful qualities of this church is that we are friends. Back a couple of months ago, I was sitting in our shepherds and ministry staff meeting one Wednesday night. Actually, I walked into it as this was happening. And they were in the middle of singing Happy Birthday. Now, in all my years of ministry, I've never been in a shepherd's meeting when we sang Happy Birthday to somebody. But they did. Then I forgot all about it, and my birthday rolled around. And so we're sitting in this meeting and dealing with all the church matters, in which, incidentally, we don't spend our time trying to figure out thermostats. We spend our time talking about people we need to pray for, people we need to minister to, people we need to visit, where God's calling us as a church, how God wants to work in our church family. And we're sitting in this meeting, and all of a sudden, one of the shepherds, who I will not name, said, I think we have a birthday boy here. And they began to sing Happy Birthday to Me. Now, if you'd been walking by the meeting at that particular moment, said, what's going on in there? Those guys are my friends. I have immense respect for Charles Head, but he's my friend too. Grateful for my friendship with Gary and Schultz, Keith and Steve and Don. I get all six? They're my friends. Now, that's not always true in churches. You realize that, right? There are churches where ministers and elders are adversaries. And they are constantly undermining each other with comments or things they do. That's not true here. Those guys are my friends. Same thing with the ministry staff and the staff. We're friends. Raises quality of body life. It also betters people that we care about and establishes a standard of forgiveness. This is the place, if you're looking for forgiveness, you came to a good place because we're here to practice forgiveness and to point you to the one who forgives and gives you a second chance. Living out divine love, that's the quality of friendship that we have. God is love, we are to be love. And finally, it intensifies our prayer life. It intensifies our prayer life. We are a church that believes in prayer. Now, in about 2 weeks, the 7th of March, 7th of March is the annual day, an annual day of prayer here in the community, and they'll be meeting, I think, at Cleburne Bible Church. Beverly has a number of tickets for that. If you don't have a ticket to that prayer morning, a number of you have gone over the years. We value prayer here. Now, on that particular morning, they'll have a special speaker. It's a very concise program. But we will trumpet the importance of praying to God as a community, and many of us from this church will be part of that. If you want to be part of that, talk to Beverly. She does have some tickets to that remaining. But the point is this. The quality of friendship that we have to offer to this community is a quality that intensifies your prayer life. We believe in prayer here, amen? We not only believe in prayer here, we actually pray, right? And so that's what we've done this morning because we believe in a God who listens to our prayer. And on the 7th is one opportunity among many that we'll have, we'll say to this community, hi, my name is Jerry Nelson. I'm here because I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. I'm here to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of salvation, the privilege of serving you. This morning, Father, may you lead us, may you guide us, may you convict us where we need to be convicted, and may you, Father, fill us with good things and good works. Dear Father, may you awaken the Spirit within our church family, and may we, Lord, be filled with the Spirit and live out of the Spirit in this community. Father, anyone here this morning who's not given their life to you, Father, we want to see the blood of Christ washing away their sins. And Father, we pray that this morning they would let the desire be known, and that before they leave, they would put their faith in you and be immersed into Christ. And that, Father, as we sing this song in just a second, that they take advantage of that opportunity to declare their faith. Dear Father, let us be people who walk together as friends, who love each other, and together express our devotion to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any need to come over together, we stand and sing.